We're back teaching in the subject of spiritual growth, and we're looking at things that you do, things that you need to do and know to be able to grow spiritually. There's lots of things that are important to know, but there's certain things that if you don't know, there's a lot of other important things you'll never find out about. There's certain areas that are basics to learn, which we've been talking about, looking into those things. We ended last week when we're not going to go over into the areas. One of the things is knowing Jesus as your shepherd, but and like the 23rd Psalm, we spent a lot of time teaching in that area, looking at Jesus as a shepherd. One of the things we're going to look at tonight, we're going to spend some time on this, is an area concerning the Holy Spirit, because when we look at the aspects of the Holy Spirit, is one of the things. If you're going to grow spiritually, you're going to have to know the Holy Spirit. And not know just about him as just some scriptures about him. The Holy Spirit is a member of the Godhead, and you can talk to him, you can know him. In fact, most Christians probably don't realize, but most of the time of their communication or anything with God is through the Holy Spirit. That's what they're doing. And we want to look at some things because of knowing the Holy Spirit is so important. When I started off as a Christian, which I got born again in January of 1980, and in February of 1980, the Holy Spirit said to me that if you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. Some 20 years later, he spoke to me and said, 80% of my people have amounted to nothing. Now, it doesn't mean this, they're bad people, they're evil people, they do bad, it isn't. But if you don't know the Holy Spirit, you don't ever know Jesus. You know, you gotta know Jesus better than just written words on a page. Jesus Christ is a living being. And knowing is a living being. Knowing his personality. You know, we can sit and, read about people and different things and history and stuff, but to really know a person's personality, you have to know them, and especially how well you know a person. Somebody could write a book about somebody, and somebody who knew somebody back years ago wrote about a person. They know from their perspective, but you can't know the person through their perspective. It's one thing is you have your own personal relationship. Most people that ever use the term that I found in Christianity over the years, people say you need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And most people are using it 100% the fact of being born again. But you can be born again and never know Jesus. Being born again doesn't mean you know Jesus. It means you received him as your Savior. But that doesn't mean you know anything about him. And so this relationship or this communion you have or fellowship is done over time. Getting saved, you don't know somebody. You know, I was born, my mom, gave birth to me. And I didn't know her because she gave birth to me. And over the years, as I got older, I learned to know my mom a whole lot better than I did when I was younger. And, and I look today of how I would view my mother was a whole lot different than I viewed my mother back then. But relationships are built over time, and you need to understand that. That's the way it is with God. You have a developing relationship with God. We all start off in the place where we're no more than children, and God's dada, That's basically what it is. The shame of it is most Christians, that's their entire Christian walk. He's dada, we're just, this kid, and he's, all these things, and we're awed by him because really what we're awed about is we really don't know him much, and don't have a close relationship. I've said before and talked about the fact of when I was in Bible school and one of our instructors was Patsy Caminetti. She did a lot of teaching on the areas of prayer and things like that. And she talked to us about, some things that she was teaching on the areas of prayer. But she said, that you never grow up or really develop till you come to the place where you're not, God's little kid, growing up, that you become a worker together with him. See, that's when you start coming into the place of maturity. And that's when you come in. See, and I don't know if you're going to understand this or not, but you need to come into a place where a mature Christian, and I learned this over the years with people who were much more mature than me, but I learned some things and entering into some of these areas where it's a whole big difference than most people, they're always trying to get something from God, is what they're doing. And you need to come to a relationship, you need to develop, to come to maturity where you have something from God, where God trusts you with things. Where God, you know, I've seen this among ministers and people who have been in the ministry a long time in areas of faithful, certain areas of ministry. And this is really what happens. God responds to their word. God responds to what they say to do. But see, over time, they've developed in a relationship and proved themselves with God that are very faithful to God. And God sees that they're very mature and He lets them operate in a lot of things. What they want to do, God does. Because they've developed in the areas of God's interests and understand how to flow with God. And see, it becomes really different. We have this in the natural. I mean, when I worked at Reese's and the people who were under me in my department, there's people that you knew what they're doing. You let them make decisions on things. You know, there are people I tell them, say, you know what you're doing. You know what you need to have done. I'm working on this stuff over here. You take care of that. You handle it. Why, you could. There's other people you'd never said that to. You don't do nothing without talking to me about it. You don't do a thing without asking me. But see, there was a difference in the people maturity. They're knowing their job and stuff. Well, God's identical. See, in most people, we do develop into the things where we learn in the areas. Paul said, God found me faithful putting me in the ministry. Do you know, here's one thing about ministry. You will never, if God's called you to a ministry, you'll never enter into that ministry right away. That'll never happen. I don't care what He called you to be. It'll be years before you enter it. Why? You're gonna be found faithful before He anoints you to do that, to give you that anointing. Because one of the things that we hear said and taught, which is not true, people say, well, you can mess up God's anointing. God won't let you do this and that. That's a bunch of bunk. God anoints you to do something, you can mess it all up. And we have these ideas that, you know, a lot of things that aren't true, but you get to know Him and know how He operates. Just think about it. God turned around and gave Adam dominion over the entire earth. And when Adam sold out, did God say, hey, hold it. You can't do that. You're not allowed to do that. No, He gave it to him. And what Adam did with it was up to Adam. And Adam sold it out. Adam sold out dominion. God let him do it. And see, this is one of the things is you want to come to the place, you want to develop in the place of maturity. It's like in the areas, I know with concerning finances, it was one of the things that I watched. I was very cautious in the areas of finances because I watched too many people in ministry. They become too interested in money. Money takes too great of an interest. And I began to see what happens to people. And I learned this over time. I watched and I began to learn this. You've heard me say many times, see, if the amount of money that you're making, bringing in is much faster and bigger than your spiritual growth, you'll always follow the money. And that's what they do. And that's one thing is I spent my time, I wanted to develop spiritually because I didn't want to get bound in that area because that's one of the big destructive areas. Big destructive. There's things that really mess you up. Money, the opposite sex, and taking glory to yourself. God anoints you and you think you're great. God moves through you and you start thinking it's you. Those are the main three things that ministers and people fall for. That's what happened. Those three, either of those three, maybe they might fall to, you know, more than one of them, but at least one of them people will get tripped up in, mess their spirituality up. They'll mess it up. Those are the big fall areas. So those are things. See, I always watched out for. I never counsel women by themselves. Never keep myself women by themselves. I don't do that. I won't do it. I've had over the years. Now they want to talk to you alone. And I say, I'm sorry. I'll be alone. You go do whatever you want. But we don't do that. I don't get in cars with women by themselves, that stuff. You know, if I don't do that. Other people ain't along and with. Ain't riding nowhere with a woman by herself. Ain't doing it. People have asked me to do things. I will not do that. I won't. I don't do those kind of things. I keep myself. There's things you do to protect yourself. Be smart. Be smart. Because I'll tell you what. You know, nothing even happens or goes wrong But somebody thinks it did, starts a rumor, and next thing you know, your reputation's shot. And you can't blame anybody else if you put yourself in the position, you know, to have that happen. So you want to make sure in those things. And there's just stuff you just don't want to do. But you want to develop in the area of spirituality, because if you grow up spiritually, it's being able to handle things. And this is one thing, is the Holy Spirit. This is why you need to know the Holy Spirit, because He's the one that's going to help you grow up. He's the one that's going to keep you in line, if you'll listen to Him. He'll keep you from making a mess of your life. Many Christians make a mess of their lives, and they do it by, you know, even with intents to do good, don't turn out good. No matter how good your intent is, it's how the thing ends up. It's nice to have a good intent, but it's better to get to the end of the good result and things of, you know, but there's things that you gotta, is having integrity. We've lost that today in the church world. Integrity don't mean, people are more interested in performance than integrity. God's more interested in integrity than performance. God would rather you be a person of integrity than just be somebody of power. Back, if we look back at the healing ministries and stuff of the 1950s, during the big revivals of the 50s, almost all those ministers died young, way before their times. Well, they had a lot of power. But you know what? Integrity was really bad. And the devil ended up killing before their time. So see, having the power, and some of them, their reputations were ruined. Ones ended up alcoholics. All kinds of things happened to them. Messed up. Certain things with women and stuff and things that happen. Wonderful gifts of God. And what you don't realize is the church loses them. You know, see, today, you know, we look at people being messed up and people say, well, you know, it's just me, I got messed up. I'm sorry, you're a member of the body of Christ. And if you're not fulfilling your ministry, the body suffers from it. So it's just about, well, it's just about me. That's why you got a problem. You think it's just about you. It's not. It's the body of Christ. This ain't about you. See, you get over into that. See, that's the American way. The American way, it's all about me. And it's not. You're part of the body of Christ. I often think about the gifts. It's like Brother Hagin talked about the one prophet's gift. He said he had never seen. He said this guy operated, he said, most phenomenal miracles and stuff. He said in his ministry. He died 26 years old. Now that's a gift lost to the body of Christ. That's a gift lost to the body of Christ. That's why today we have so few gifts. Because there's so many messed up ministers. They ain't flowing and walking in what they're supposed to. It's to the body of Christ. It's a shame. We lose those gifts. And the whole body suffers over it. The whole body suffers. But it comes down to this. People lose track of the Holy Spirit. We have God living in us, but most Christians have very little contact with Him or pay very little attention to Him. Thank God there are people who do, but as a whole, the body doesn't. Thank God for everyone that does. Hallelujah. Thanks God for everybody who is endeavoring to follow the Spirit in Him, because that's the greatest thing that any of us can do, is to allow the Holy Spirit to carry the ministry of Jesus out through us. That's the number one. See, all the rest of it, learning and stuff and things like that, if Jesus can't fulfill His ministry through us, who cares what you know? It doesn't matter what you know. You know, it's just like you work for somebody. No matter how much you know about the job, it's what you can do. That's what they're interested in. They're interested in getting the job done. Not how much you know. How bright you are. But if you can do the job. There's plenty of people that I've had worked around already, didn't know near as much as other people, but were greater workers. I'd taken them. Boy, I'll have them in a minute. Give me them. I'll take the guy that can do something, not the guy that's smart. If the guy that's smart can't do it, who cares? We want the person. And that's with God. We want to come to the point that we can do something. Allow Him to work through us. Is one thing you're going to find out, especially the ability of God, having God's ability, is if we could go like in the book of Acts, we find in Acts 1:8, it talks about when Jesus said, it says, you will be endued with power. It says in the King James, endued with power from on high. That word power there could also be translated ability. And that's the ability of God. God's power is really God's ability, what works in you to help you carry things out. And so one of the things that we need to understand, we do not personally have the ability to do the things God wants done. God gives us, through the great His grace, anoints us, gives us His ability. And that comes through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, that's when you're going to get God's ability. That's when you get it. When the Holy Spirit comes, He said, now you're going to get God's ability. That's what the day of Pentecost was about, God's ability. That's what it was about. And so understand that about, you need ability, I need ability. You know, it's like I learned from Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin, I remember when I first heard him, hearing him teach, and he'd say, you know, healing, I don't heal anybody. He said, I couldn't heal a gnat's eyeball. Well, him personally, he doesn't have the ability to heal. If he heals by the power of God, that God works through him. So it's God's ability that operates through us. And so we want to be able to cooperate with His ability, because that's what works in us. We need His ability. And if you keep that in mind, you'll never get big-headed, the fact, think you're just somebody's, I'm special. Say, no, God's special. He works through me. In spite of me, He does things through me. He doesn't do it by your great intelligence. Isn't that? I don't know. I think that's wonderful. I was glad to find out that God wasn't looking for the genius. That means I could get used. See, other people want to, you know, like, I got to raise to some kind of epitome. I'm sorry. That's going to leave a lot of people out. But in the body, God can use supernaturally through everybody. All we have to do is yield the Holy Spirit, let Him work through us. That's what God wants. And God can work, His ability can carry out in us. You know, God can make you look like a genius. Just don't go around patting yourself on the back, okay? And be careful about people, because I'll tell you this. God uses you, and people will want to give you a big head. Be very careful. Be very careful. God uses you in powerful ways. People will want to make you think you're the next best thing to slice bread, and they're patting you and that. You need to learn to not let things, you know. And sometimes people are doing that. They're not doing that to be, you know, trying to cause a problem. They're just, you know. But you need to understand yourself, and don't get thinking that, well, I'm special. They might say you're special. I don't pay any attention to it. That's why it's like, I don't like a lot of the personal prophecy over the years I've heard said, because too many times personal prophecy is glorifying the person instead of Jesus Christ. It's a familiar spirit they're yielding to, and not the Holy Ghost. And I can tell you that because of what we'll look at the scriptures of what the Holy Ghost does. He doesn't glorify you, and He doesn't glorify me. And there's too much within the body of Christ that people are glorifying people. Now, it's what God does through us. It's what God does through us. Keep yourself in that mind, in that mindset. Why? Because if you'll keep that mindset, God can use you again and again and again and again. But you get the wrong mindset, and the devil will start to use you again and again and again and again. And he will. Kenneth Hagin said this back in 1980s during the healing. There's a lot of healing. There's a lot of revival going on at that time during the charismatic renewal. Kenneth Hagin said this. He said, many of the ministers are operating under familiar spirits. Many. They yield to familiar spirits. See, people need to be careful. We want to glorify Jesus. That's why if you know the Holy Spirit, you yield the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will always glorify Jesus. You won't miss it. You won't get over in that. Know the Holy Spirit. What happens is these people don't learn to know the Holy Spirit. There's more than one spirit out here. The scriptures tell us there's more than one voice out there speaking, all of them with significance. You know the Holy Spirit? You'll know. I've said in meetings already, and I have watched major ministers, big name ministers on TV. I've watched them operate under familiar spirits. And everybody is all tickled what was going on. And what was going on in that meeting wasn't all the Holy Ghost. Wasn't the Holy Ghost going on? Oh, it all sounded good. People loved hearing it. You know, somebody that's always prophesying all the time, saying wonderful, great things. No. I know the Holy Spirit. Sometimes he tells me I'm not a great thing. he corrects me. But it's so he can use me. It's always for good. I don't We need to understand. We need corrected. There's things we don't know. There's things we're not smart about. And so we need to be very careful in these areas. Why knowing the Holy Spirit is such an important part. So we must learn to know the Holy Spirit intimately. So when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's good to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, but that is the beginning. That's not an end of anything. That's just the beginning. And so understand that about yourself. This is the start. This is initiation into the things concerning the power of God. But there's going to have to be development in us so He can use us in ways of power, demonstrate and manifest Himself through us. Now understand this about yourself. And it's every Christian. Paul made the statement, and he said in 1 Corinthians 12 chapter, he said that we look through a glass darkly. In other words, we don't know everything. Do you know, we're imperfect vessels. Now, you're born again. Your spirit man on the inside is born of God. But you know, I mean, I have arrived to a certain maturity, but there's sure more I can. My inner man needs in development and growth concerning, because I don't know everything about the Word. I don't know everything. And we're operating. Understand that our spirit is inside, and our human spirit wants to manifest itself through our outer man, through your body. That's how, and the inside. The Bible says the body without the spirit's dead. If your spirit leaves your body dies. That's what happens to it. So, the manifestation of your spirit inside is what is our can be our expression on the outside, or we can just let our flesh do it at once and with an unrenewed mind, however we want to do. But understand that about ourselves. Our body is dead in sin. See, now when we have this wonderful thing with the Spirit in us, the Scripture says we'll quicken or make alive our body, which is really important. We need to come over where our body, we want our body to come more in line with what our inner man is, responding to the inner man instead of the outer forces around us and all the stuff going on, if we're going to be used. And understand, God's gifts are perfect. The Holy Ghost is perfect in what He does. He's perfect. He has to be. He's God. If He's not perfect, He ain't God. But He is God. But He's operating through imperfect vessels. So when we operate gifts through us, they're not working perfectly through us. See, I hear people say, well, when it's a gift of God, it's perfect. That's really a childish thing, is operating through imperfect. Would we have the nonsense that we have in the Church of God if everything was operating perfectly through us? I mean, come on! It's not. You know, it's like, you know, Paul said, we prophesy in part. So we do things, see, in part. We do things in our operations of gifts through us. This is the wonder of me of God. I mean, I'm amazed at Him. He ain't nervous or touchy. He operates things through us, and He knows it's not perfect. But it's amazing how He can get things done. And so, don't get over on the thing. See, people get over and get scared that, well, what if I get over and I use it and I do something wrong? Well, you will, so get over. Now, it's one thing to get over just getting big head and do things wrong and just want to do your own things. But you're going to do things just from your development, even in the gifts that you do, of allowing the Holy Spirit to operate through you. You're not going to do things right, sometimes well, first time out. You don't do. You learn to yield to it and learn to do that. Don't get yourself over where too many people want to learn too much before they want to do anything. And you know what happens? They never do anything. Because the more they learn, the more they think they need to learn. And they just keep on this learning, and they do what people do today. They spend their whole life in school and never do a thing. Don't do that. Learn to do stuff. Learn to take the things that you learn, start to put them to work. And I'll tell you what, be the best education you ever got in your life. I'm serious. Be the best education, because the Holy Spirit will begin to teach you. There is some things that I never really understood till in Scripture. I never fully understood till I started operating in certain things of the Spirit, and all of a sudden I realized what that was really talking about. Because now I experienced it, and it's like, oh, that's different than I thought. That's operating differently than I thought it was going to. And now I understand what it's talking about. Before, you know, I had my idea what I thought it was. So, the Holy Spirit, learning to know the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's a person. We don't pray to the Holy Spirit, but we can talk to Him at any time. We can talk to Him. You can ask Him questions. The Holy Spirit's in you. He's a person. People talk about, well, you know, I don't believe in God talking to you. Well, then we know this. They are never led by the Spirit of God. Those are people who don't believe in Christians saying, you know, well, I don't believe these people about God talking to you. The Bible's full of God talking to people. It's filled with, and they don't believe in it. It's like, to me, it's like, whoa, that's dumb gone to seed. He does talk, and one of the things is understanding. This is why you want to develop in the Word, reading the Word and stuff. I find, you know, is if the Holy Spirit, one of the biggest ways to get response to Him from Him about things is talking to Him about the Word. Because understand, He's the teacher of the Word. He's the one who guides us and leads us into the truth. Talk to Him, because if you're going to talk to Him in line with the Word, you're going to be talking to Him something that He can respond to. Many times people have questions or ask things, but the Holy Spirit's not going to respond to it. Sometimes the Holy Spirit can't respond to us about certain things because we're not in a level to have a response to it. We wouldn't have a clue what it was about He was talking. Because we think sometimes, just like a child, you know, a child could ask a question. There's no way you can sit down and you try to explain it. You wasted your time. It's not going to work. And we need to understand, some people want to know things way out here and they don't know the simple things. Is let the Holy Spirit teach. You have questions about things, ask Him about things and that stuff. And He'll talk to you, especially things that concern you specifically with you. He'll want to develop you. He'll help you on ministering to other people or helping other people, but He's going to want to develop you. That's what I found out when I first started off as a Christian, is looking into the Word as you begin to look at what Scriptures say. In John 16:14, and Jesus made this statement. He said, "The Holy Spirit, He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine, He'll declare it to you. He'll glorify Me." That's what He said. So you can always understand this. The Holy Spirit in operation always glorifies Jesus. That's why, is ministry-wise, you're going to find like gifts of the Spirit and healing, things like that, they glorify Jesus. The Holy Spirit manifests in those gifts and those ways. The gifts of the Spirit are never to glorify the person doing who they're operating through. They're to glorify Jesus. So you don't want to do things that make a big deal about you. So you could take a good gift, but make it pay more attention to you than what it does to Jesus Christ. And you always want to understand the Holy Spirit and His operation. It's like when I told this story numerous times before, but it was an obvious thing. But yet, big name ministers were sitting in the meeting, and I was in the meeting, and I had no idea who this lady was sitting down in front of. And these ushers are walking back and forth bringing towels to this lady. Rod Parsley's on the pulpit trying to preach. And Rod Parsley, you know, he can preach. I'll give Rod Parsley. He can spit about six rows and maybe more. But Rod can preach, and Rod's preaching, and I could tell. Now see, here's one thing. Now I'm a second year student in Bible school, and I'm no rocket scientist. I've only been born again since 1980, and this is in 1989. I'm in the thing. So I've been born again now for 9 years. Now in that service, there's big name ministers that have been born again 30, 40 years sitting in that place. These guys end up following familiar spirit. See, you know, you need to understand this. I don't care how spiritual you think you are or get, you miss it. And you got to keep yourself humbled in that place that you can miss it. And keep yourself over where you pay attention to go on and just think. And you got to watch it. You don't follow your favorite minister. You follow the Holy Spirit. Most of the people in that place, the big name ministers there, were their favorite ministers, and they all followed them, and they missed God. You don't follow your favorite minister. You follow the Holy Spirit. And this one thing is I loved the teaching of Brother Hagin. I'll never forget sitting there watching this thing with this lady, and I could tell the anointing on Rod Parsley is getting disrupted. This is a thing that it made me mad afterwards to think that these ministers, big name ministers, didn't notice that. the Rod Parsley, he didn't have the flow. It wasn't, you know. I mean, Rod can preach. I mean, that's his gift. He can preach. He's more of a preacher than he is a teacher. And he can preach. And you could tell the flow was off. It was. And it's because of this woman sitting down there. She's a distraction. And the first thing that came to me was something that Kenneth Hagin had said so many times. And this place is full of Rhema people. Some of the people on the platform who got messed up in this stuff. Rhema instructors. If I named their names, you'd all know who they are. Big name ministers. You'd know who they are. They're all sitting up there. They're sitting on the stage. And the first thing that came to me is what Kenneth Hagin said. He don't anoint a guy to stand in the pulpit and preach and then have somebody else down out here disrupting, distracting. He said, that ain't the Holy Spirit. And I'm sitting there saying, that ain't the Holy Spirit. And I said to the guy next to me, I don't know who that lady is and what's going on down there. But I said, it ain't God, whatever it is. I said, this is messed up. I said, something's wrong here. And so we're sitting there a little while, and Rod finally more or less quit preaching. He just came to end his message and probably was in the middle of it because he didn't, and just because he just ended his message and turned it over. He didn't even do nothing afterwards with it. He just turned it over. And this big name minister walked up and said, God wants this woman here to lay hands on all of us. I said to the guy beside me, I'm out of here. Goodbye. I said, that lady ain't touching me. And then which we found out later on is the fact she was operating under familiar spirits and she was known for her some demonic stuff and things. And big name minister got up, stood in front of the parents. When they found that out and it all came out in the open, none of those big name ministers ever said they missed it. None of them. They just go on like they never stop and say, you know, we blew that. And because you know what it makes? It makes me hard. Then I become hard to listen to them. You got to pay attention listening to them. You got to pay attention to what they say because they'll yield off into things. You just can't sit. You got to watch yourself on the spirit that's operating. And I know with a big name minister that got up here, I know more than once, that he's prophesied by familiar spirits and people have gone on with him and saying, oh, and they print them in books and put them out and everything. They're familiar spirits. And I know it is. And I know there are big name ministers that know what it is too. But he's very popular among people. Says a lot of things people like. So why does it go on? It wouldn't have to if we would listen to the Holy Spirit. See, when you go to meetings, you want to listen to the Holy Spirit. That's what you want to do. You want it on the inside. And number one, what he's saying, what's he saying to you in that meeting? What's for you? What's he talking? I've set meetings already and that stuff. Guy's preaching up there and you're listening to him preach and all of a sudden God takes something he says and I get a whole message of things he talks to me about sitting right there and that thing of, and I think about, I often talk about, what if I wouldn't have been there when I was supposed to? What if I wouldn't have? So you learn to listen to that, the Holy Spirit. Lots of times people, being where you're supposed to is just as much important as a lot of people think about a lot of different things. Being where you're supposed to be at the time. Things need to be said. You know, I don't attend Randy Greer meetings just because I like to just drive to meetings, go to meetings and places. I don't do that. God tells me to go to these meetings and goes there. And every time I go there, God has something he wants to talk to me about. See, why does he send you the whole way there to talk to you? I don't know. That's up to him. He's in charge. I'm not. Because I know this, he's teaching me obedience. He's teaching me to trust him with money. He's teaching me to not sit down and say, I can't afford to go there. He's teaching me, see, you got to learn these things, folks. You won't go beyond if God's saying to do it. You got to come, hey, hold it. Let's do this. Let's do it. You know, I've spent a lot of money over the years going to meetings and doing stuff. I could probably own a Viper if I had such money. It's there's people that you can do. But you know what? This is all investment. To me, everything in this, this is the most important. I want to learn to be obedient to God. I want to listen to the Holy Spirit's telling me to do. See, it's one thing. Don't ask to be led by the Spirit if you're not going to be led by the Spirit. Don't ask. Don't ask Him to talk to you if you don't want to, hear what's said. Because He's going to tell us things and that stuff to try to develop us into whatever He wants us to do. But He's always going to lead us into areas to teach us to learn to trust. He's going to have us do things. You know, I've always seen this along. It sometimes just seems when you had quite a bit of money at the time, and at the time He seems to ask you to go do something. He'll go ask you when you don't. Hey. But you know what? The whole, I understand. You know, when I first started off, I used to get into questioning about this stuff. You know? It's like, I'll never forget, like when the Lord said to me before I went to Bible school. In January of 1987, the Lord spoke to me in that January and said to me, I want you to go to Rhema this year. And what He had just done year before, I don't know, it was probably around maybe October, November, was it? You told me you wanted to go to Disney World. You want to take the girls to Disney World. It was somewhere around the end of October, the beginning of November. Because in December, the department I worked in, I had a lot of seniority, so I could get off when I wanted to, basically. So I always took off over Christmas and New Year's. I'd take 2 weeks, and over Christmas and New Year's, I'd be off. So I'd have 2 weeks off. So I had 2 weeks off, and she said they wanted to go to Disney World. I just wanted to be off work. I just didn't want to do anything. She said, the girls and I want to go to Disney World. And I thought, I think I even told you I didn't want to go to Disney World. But whatever. But anyhow, see, one of the worst things you ever do, you go pray. See, if you don't ever hear anything, don't pray. You won't hear anything. You won't follow God. Don't worry. But I had this habit of going and praying. So I went praying, and I wasn't praying at all about Disney World, but God was talking about Disney World. And the Lord said this to me. He said, I want you to take your family to Disney World, He said, over your vacation. He said, it's going to be a while before they'll get a vacation like this again. Now, and He said, I didn't think much about that being said because I didn't know what was going to go on. I didn't know what was going to happen. So, I said to Wanda, I went to Wanda, I said, the Lord spoke to me and told me we're just going to go. So we're going to make plans. We're going down to Disney World. So we're going to do it. So, we sat down a little plan and we said, well, number one, we didn't have. You don't go to places like that on a budget. It's no fun. It's no fun on a budget. You're not going to do all the stuff you want to do when you get there and find all the stuff there is to do that you didn't ever know that was there to do. Do you get there to do it? So, we just decided. I sat down. We decided, you know, how much money generally we knew that we were going to spend to be there. We figured out for a hotel and all this kind of stuff, and you know, and. I told the Lord for, you know, all this stuff that I said He was going to pay for. I said, you're the one who told me to go. I said, I didn't ask to go. You said go. So I said, this bill's on you. See, I don't know how you guys talk to God, but I know Him well enough. He has His part He's going to have to play. Don't tell me to do things on my buck. If I'm doing your work, you get your wallet out. You know? I learned that about, do you ever know that about God? See, most people don't. Most people, God will speak to them, and they'll try to figure out how they're going to do it. So they don't know Him. They don't know. They're not workers. He's the boss, and I got to turn around and use my money to do His work. Well, I don't. And so I said to him, I said, now look, we want at least, I said, after everything else is paid, all the stuff to do it in Disney World, all this stuff, we want $1,000 that we can just blow to do what we want. So I want $1,000 at least at that time. That was back then, that was, you know, like $2,000 or $3,000 a day. So, but anyhow, I said, we want it just to spend. And so that's what we did. So what we did was this, is we went around and started telling everybody we're going down to Disney World. That's what we're going to do. We didn't want to go to Disney World. We're telling everybody we're going to Disney World. Why? We learned about faith. This is what we're doing. God said to do it. I'm going to do it. You know, I ain't going to say I ain't going to go do this thing. We're going to do it. So we're going, we're telling them when we're going, and we're telling everybody we're going to go. Well, then I had, my brother came to me. He had a motor home. He came to me and he said, you know, we've hardly used our motor home this year at all. He said, it's been sitting. It needs driven. He said, I heard you're going down to Disney World. I said, yeah. He said, why don't you take a motor home down? drive that down. I said, well, okay, so we'll drive the motorhome down. So we got a motorhome to drive down. And so everything just started coming together. And until we left, we had what money we needed and that stuff for what the place we were staying at, with the, we're going to stay in the motorhome, all this kind of stuff. And we had $1,000 to blow. We had it. God did brought everything like we asked. We just said, and we did. And so we went down there, and we spent all this money. And we had we had a really good time, a lot of fun. Came back home, and then God says, you're going to go to Rima. And you know what the first thing out of my mouth was? Well, if I'd have known that, I'd never spent all that money. And this is what the Lord said to me. That's exactly why I didn't tell you. You wouldn't have done it. See, sometimes God knows you and don't tell you things because He can't. Because if He does, you won't do His will. That's the last thing you'll do is His will. If He can't get you to do what's in front of you to do, there's no use telling you to miles down the road what to do. There's no use telling you. So you got to get used to this. He knows us. See, this is one thing dealing with it. And he didn't do that to hurt me. He's developing me. He's developing me. He wants me in a place that I have to trust Him to get to school. Which I didn't know this. I had already set some years before by just following in my spirit. Many times you can be led by the Holy Spirit, sort of not realizing you are. You just get senses in yourself about stuff. Many times your spirit will pick up things from the Holy Spirit and you'll just start doing them. You don't really say anything. You just get a sense to do something, and you'll start to follow. That's one of the things is being led by the Spirit of God. You're led by the inward witness. You just have a sense to do something. And really, ending up at Rhema, one of the things that we ended up, when we went to Rhema, we didn't have a bunch of money to go to school or anything like that, but we went and ended up being taken care of, and we lived good in school. Things really were great for us. And but I hadn't realized, and I didn't know this, but I talked to him. One of the things that is, and it was at the end of my second year of school, because you have so many students, they go, they move out there and that stuff, and you're going to school, and you're working a part-time job, and they're doing things, and money, people don't have money, and we just had money all the time. We had money. And I said to the Lord, man, it's been good to us, so great, you've been so gracious to us. And he stopped and he said to me one time, he said, and I had forgotten all about this, which is years before. The Lord said to me and reminded me of $1,000 that we gave away. Now this was back during a time $1,000 was huge to us. We first started off, to give $1,000 was like, you know, it's like to me today, if you'd say give $20,000, that probably 1,000 was a bigger number back then than 20 is today. That was a big number back then. And I didn't give it away because God said I was supposed to give it away. It all started off about a television. I was praying one night. We had a TV, and TV went out. So I just said to the Lord, this TV went out, and I said to the Lord, I said, you know, I'd like to have a TV. There's some things that kids, because I didn't watch very much or anything like that, but I said, yeah, the kids with the TV and stuff, there was things they watched and things and stuff. I said, I'd like to have a TV. We'll get another TV. And in those days, back in those times, TVs cost a lot more money than they do today. You didn't go out with $100 and go buy a television. So I was looking, I said to the Lord about a TV. And I went back to praying one night again, and while I was praying, I kept seeing a television when I was praying. I'd see a TV, and I thought, oh, I get so fleshly, what's wrong with me? I would get praying, so I'd stop, and I would, oh, I've got to get my focus back here again. Every time I pray, I see a television. So I got back over. See, this is what you can learn about things about this. See, this is crazy, but the Holy Ghost is working. This is the Holy Ghost. But see, I don't know it. I think that this is my mind doing this thing. So I go back praying, TV again. So I, you know, stop and thinking, oh, my mind, what is wrong with me? Just, I can't stay focused. I'm praying about a certain thing and I keep seeing television. This got to be carnal, you know. See, which we don't know what carnal is half the time. So anyhow, And after the third time, and I went back to TV, and finally, it just dawned on me. Oh, I think God must be somebody's trying to get me across here to something. So I just stopped and said, Lord, what is this TV thing? And here it was him. And he just said to me real clear inside of me, he said, what kind of TV do you want? He said, I'll give you whatever you want. Tell me what you want, and I'll give it to you. Well, I thought I stopped. Then anyhow, I ended up talking to Wanda about it. So I talked to her. We made an agreement on television at that time. At that time, Sony had one of these, they call them the Sony Trinitron, whatever it is. I said, one of those ones. But we were going to do it. So God's working on it. See, I didn't pay much attention to what was going on about this thing. But it was a while. This TV wasn't coming. So I went back to the Lord, and I went back to the Lord about the TV. And the Lord said to me, it's going to be a while for that TV to come in. Well, I said, that's fine. But I said, I don't mind it taking a long time for that. But I said, we'd like to have a TV something now. And he said, well, okay. He just said, okay, but never said anything more about it. Well, it was no more than a week or so later, Wanda's aunt, they had a television that they were going to keep, and they went and sent it off, and they spent a few $100s on this big television to go through it and make sure everything's working good on this TV. They were going to keep it. Well, they went to the guy that they turned around and had him work on it, and they saw one new one he had there, and they decided they wanted that one, and they came and gave this other television to us. Well, I mean, this other television is a really nice television. I mean, it's a really good TV. Real good television. So here we had this other television. So a guy comes to me one day, months later, and says to me, he said, the Lord spoke to me about getting you a television. Now, this guy knew nothing about it. I never talked to anybody about this TV. The only one, Wanda and I, talked about the TV. I never told anybody. But I said, the Holy Ghost is working. And I said, so the Holy Ghost worked this guy. This guy comes to me and said, there's a guy who's having really financial trouble with these businesses, and he had stores, sold TVs and different things and stuff. He said, the Lord told me to go to ask him to sell me. And anyhow, it was a Sony TV. Now, this guy knew, God told this guy this. I didn't say nothing to him. And told him to sell him that TV at a certain price. And he said, the guy won't do it. And he said, God wants him to, because if he does, then God will bless his business. But if he don't, he's going to end up out of business. The guy did end up going out of business. God's trying to bless us. Now, listen, God does things trying to bless people. He's not trying to get things out of people's hands. He's trying to take it from them so he can give them something bigger. Most people usually hang on and end up with nothing. They'll just hang on to that thing that they got. And so he came to me and he said, the Lord told me if you want to, and I don't know if you remember the Curtis Mathis televisions. They were handmade televisions. Now, I didn't ever think about them because, you know, you could buy a small car, which is people are paying for. This guy said, I'll get you one of those. Well, the guy turned around and walked away from me, and he left, and I'm standing there, and I'm thinking, and I just turned around to the Lord. I said, Lord, the TV we got's good. And I said, you know, Curtis Mathis television. I said, that sounds nice. But I said, what on earth am I going to do with that thing? I said, we're never going to use that thing to, you know, it's that much money, you know, don't watch enough of it. I said, I think you want to move that way, but, well, then he said, the Lord spoke to me and said, well, what do you want to do? And I just said to him, I said, I'd rather give somebody that money, give you money than just, you know, just to have that television. We already have a good TV. It's a good one. I said, that's to have just another one sitting around and another television. The Lord made mention to me, like saying something to this guy. I said, Lord, I will not. I said, I wouldn't say to him to give me money instead of a television. I said, if you started this thing, not me. I said, I ain't saying nothing to him about nothing. Well, about 20 minutes later, the guy walks up to me and says, would you rather have the money than a television? It's amazing. This is all going on. This is all the Holy Ghost doing things. And he's working. And this is one of the things is allowing, because if you'll just flow with things. But I didn't realize what God was setting there, but I said to the Lord concerning the money, I said, the money's really nice, but I said, you know what? I just said, Lord, I have inside of me, I said, about giving this money. I said, does somebody need this? Does someone need this? And the Lord said, look, he said, it's your money. You do with it what you want. It's your money. That's what he said to me. It's your money. And then he said, why, is there somebody you'd like to give it to? And I just said, I'd like to give that money to Kenneth Hagin. Well, let me tell you, my life was changed by his teaching, and I just wanted to bless him. We were never able to give like that to the ministry. And so he said, it's your money. You do what you want. If you want to do that, you do that. And I gave that money, that $1,000. So years passed. I end up at Rhema. And the Lord said to me, he said, do you remember that $1,000? Oh, I had forgotten all about that $1,000. I didn't even think about that anymore. That was gone. He said, that's why you're blessed today. He said, you gave that $1,000 away. He said, that $1,000 has supplied everything you need here. See, we went to school. Our school ended up getting paid for. And we were just taken care of the whole time we were there. We were just blessed the whole time. While we were at school, we were able to give more money away while we were at school than we did at any other time when I was just working full time and everything else. I turn around and able to take an entire summer off with my family. I mean, that was a phenomenal thing. I never had that happen in my life. But we were around people that are working it, but it was that. See, this one, there's things that you have unctions within you. If the Holy Ghost is working in you, He's planning for your future. And see, sometimes I often thought about that. That what if I hadn't followed what was in my heart to do? See, I would have arrived at a Rhema like maybe I was supposed to, but it wouldn't have turned out the way God wanted it to. And see, this is why you want to learn to be led by the Spirit. You want to follow these things. Things sometimes don't make sense. Like to us, I thought about it after giving that $1,000 away. I thought, my God, could we have ever used $1,000? $1,000. Maybe I should have gave $500. You know, or let me do this, let me do that. I got one for $1,500. You could buy a new Toyota. Back in those days. Yeah. But we had, you know, and those are things, and I'm talking about these things because this is what's important about being led by the Spirit, is because you can't go by what you just see in front of you. God is never trying to take from you. Never. That is never happening. If He wants you to give something away, or He wants you to do something, it's never from the standpoint of loss. It's always He wants to take you to something better. That's the whole purpose in it. It's so you'll have more. That's what He wants to do. He wants you to come to the place where you're faithful, where He can put more into your hands. And that's why you got to learn the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, if the Bible says it, He doesn't speak on His own initiative. He only talks. In other words, the Holy Spirit talks. It's Jesus Christ talking to you. He doesn't think of what He wants to say. He only speaks, the Bible says, what He hears, that's what He speaks. So whatever He hears Jesus or the Father of God say, He'll say to you. So when the Holy Spirit talks to you, you can turn around and say, God's talking to you. And this is why you want to be led by the Spirit of God. You want to be able to listen, especially in the areas of teaching the Word. You don't want to come up with your own ideas about the Word. When I first started off, I had ideas that I had on things. As you went along and finally got taught, and thought, oh my words, I'm not even close in thinking of some of this stuff. You know, you get over your own mind trying to figure things out, and letting the Holy Spirit teach you is one of the things. The Holy Spirit will talk to you in line with the Word. That's why you have to learn the Word. You want to learn the Word and know what the Word says. That's one thing you have to. I don't know any other way to be led by the Spirit. I don't know. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. So He is going to use the Word, because the Word, really, I look at it as this, and usually call it, it's our measuring stick. It's our measuring stick of up against anything that's said to us or told us. We measured against the Word. The principles must be in the Word, that the Holy Ghost, He's not going to move outside of it. You know, and this is one thing. Sometimes, you know, it's like I've learned over the years, sometimes the Holy Spirit spoke to me about some certain things, and I didn't move on it because I wasn't sure if it was the Holy Ghost, because thing didn't register. I found out after a while it was, but I had to find out some things to find out it was. in the old covenant. Number one, he never expects you to just go do it and you aren't sold that it's the word of God speaking. He wouldn't do that. It'd be a sin for you to do that. He'll never move you to that. Sometimes he'll speak to you in an area because he wants you to start to check things out, to find out. And so, you know, he's not going to wrap you over the head. You didn't jump immediately. If you're not sure about it, well, take time till you're sure that you know on the inside of you, it's God working in you to do it. Don't be afraid. I will guarantee you, he will ask you to do things you don't feel qualified to do. You sometimes don't even feel empowered to do. He'll ask you to do things. He'll ask you to do things sometimes that are just not opportune times. Seems like he'll just pick those out. When it just seems so opportune to do certain things, it seems like he never talks to you about it. But he's teaching us and training us in these areas because I found this out in life. Lots of times, the times that you really need a move of God is when things are not opportune. Things start falling apart when you didn't expect them to fall apart. And so if you learn how to operate in those times, he'll teach you. So when those times come, you don't fall apart. You stand, you know he'll work, you know he'll do things. You know he'll carry things out. And just learning to follow it, being led by your spirit on the inside of you. Is one of the things that I've always been glad about is learning to that. I know Kenneth Hagin, he has a series they still have on how to be led by the Spirit. They still sell those series. I've listened to that. I have one, an MP3s that I've listened to so many times. I go over and I listen to them just to remind myself of things because it deals with the basics and you go back over and sometimes you get away from certain things but you got to get yourself over where you're listening on the inside. And you can learn to do that. You can learn to where you're pay more attention to what's going on in you than what's around you. And you want to go there. You want to be able to do that. It takes time. You don't do that immediately, but learn to listen on the inside. Because there's all kinds of stuff going on around the outside of you. But just think about it. God is in you. How much more could it be important for us to hear God who's in us? So take the time to do that. What we're going to do, we'll go over more things onto these areas concerning scriptures, about the Holy Spirit. The word tells us that the greater one is in us. So and think about that. If the greater one is inside of you, then if you need to come in contact, you need help and need to come in contact with something, it's in you. The greater one is inside of you. See, most of the time, most people, when they pray, they're thinking of God out there. You know, God's out there he's way out there someplace and we're trying to get a hold of him. But is coming out there, the greater one is already in you. He's already here. See, is getting into that thinking. See, that it requires faith. You've got to start believing that he's inside of you already. And if you believe it, then start having actions that correspond to God being in you. Start acting like he's in you. Talk like he's in you. And after a while, you'll be living like he's in you. But see, most people, God is somebody they're trying to reach. It's like we're almost taught in prayer. And you hear people say, oh, the sky's like brass. And who cares? God's here. God's inside of me. I'm not trying to get through the clouds. I'm not trying to reach God. God's already moved in. He's inside of me. You know, if I'm not hearing, it's not God's fault. God's listening. People say, why isn't God talking to me? They don't say, why ain't I listening? Why ain't I paying attention? What did I do when I got deaf? No, must be God. Got his hearing aid turned down again. You know, took him out, went to bed. And get yourself over that he's inside of me. And, you know, all the time, especially if I go through difficult times, I always say scripture, he's inside of me. He's guiding me and leading me into all the truth. I don't care if I feel led at all. He's guiding me and leading me into the truth. That's what he's doing. And see, keep yourself over. You keep yourself in the areas of faith by saying those things. You talk those things And you want the Holy Spirit to become very personable to you. Because you can't grow spiritually any other way. He's the one that teaches us and helps us growing up. There's no other way to get there. I don't know how else to do it. And so we want to learn to be led by the Spirit of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And so we know that everybody that gets born again is a child of God. But everyone's not going to live like a child of God. Everyone is not going to have God move through them. You know, under the New Testament was written in Greek. Under the Greek culture of that day, sonship, every child was not, like we write, they write it down in here and they write it into Greek. We talk about sons. It was one thing to be a child in a home, but when they became of a certain age, and, you know, if you see the terms that Paul wrote about, talked about a household servant who was the children were under. So the King James calls him a tutor, was under a tutor. Well, see, the children under the tutor, they had not come into sonship yet. In other words, they weren't in any responsible place in the family. The term adoption, we look at adoption, they looked at adoption. There was actually, for them, the idea of adoption was when the child became of age to step in to take their place in the family. That was adoption. We take adoption and look at it as adoption as somebody who doesn't belong to you. We belong to God. We're born into His family. We're children. We're actually born into His family. And when we talk about, you know, the being led by the Spirit, these are the sons. These are the sons. These are the ones who have come to of age where these are ones that are part of the family now to lead, direct. They have jobs in the family. They do something. They're not just being cared for all the time down here. They're the ones doing the stuff now. And see, that's what sonship is in the body of Christ. We take just because somebody's born it. We have most people, they just stay babies. They're no more to be. They always have to be cared for. The majority of Christians always have to be cared for. They don't care for anybody. They take care of themselves, get what they want. They stay in that place. But they don't rise up to the place where they become to do things. Just like with children, naturally, don't you want your children to grow up where they become responsible to something? You know, it's like today, my words, you know, they're 25, 30 years old and their parents are still trying to take care of them. That's messed up. Really, we have that image in the body of Christ also. So the Holy Spirit, He'll guide you and lead you into the sonship, hallelujah, where you can take your place as an heir of God. Hallelujah. Enjoy the things that were given to you by God. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, we just want to thank You tonight. Thank You, Lord God, for the wonderful Holy Spirit who instructs us and leads us. Father, I thank You, Lord God, none of us can take credit for where we've arrived to. Lord God, of any growth that we've had in us, it's by Your kindness and mercy, by giving us the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, I am so thankful to have You in me, the wonderful teacher that takes what belongs to my Savior, Jesus Christ, and reveal Him to me. I am so thankful for it, Lord. Lord, I'm so thankful for Your patience. Oh, my word, You've been patient. Patient to teach us. Lord God, Lord, sometimes it seemed we took two or three steps forward, then five back. But You just kept working and kept working and kept working. You didn't stop. And we just want to let You know, we just appreciate how You've been able to work in us. We desire to go much further. And we thank You that You'll take us there, that You'll train us and lead us. And we're just looking to You. We're going to trust in You, Holy Spirit, because You're going to take what belongs to Jesus and reveal it to us. Hallelujah. You're going to show us all the things that our Master wants us to do and teach us how to walk by faith and not by sight. And we'll follow what You're going to teach us and show us. And I'll thank You, Father, that Jesus Christ will be magnified and glorified. So we thank You for it. The good work that You started in us, You're going to bring it to completion. In Jesus' name, amen.